Okay, so have you ever like thought about deducting those timeshare maintenance fees?
Oh
Like,
yeah.
wouldn't that be the dream?
It would. But it's not always as straightforward as we'd like it to be. Taxes rarely are.
So true. And that's why we are diving into this topic today. We've got this Wesley Financial Group article, and it breaks down what you can and cannot write off when it comes to timeshare expenses.
Yeah.
And I was really surprised by some of this. Like, did you know the type of ownership you have with your timeshare really makes a difference?
Huge difference. Yeah, the article really stresses that difference between deeded and then right-to-use timeshares.
Yeah.
And, most people listening probably don't even realize they're two different types.
Yeah. So is it kind of like, owning a little piece of paradise versus just like renting a beach umbrella for the week?
Yeah, that's a good way to think about it. Deeded means you actually own a fraction of the property, like a condo, but smaller. Right to use is more like a lease. You're just buying the right to be there for a certain time.
And so for taxes deeded is the way to go if you want those benefits.
Exactly. Yeah, you might be able to get some tax advantages that just aren't there with those right to use agreements.
Okay, so that clears that up. Now let's talk about those pesky maintenance fees.
Uh-oh.
Can we deduct those, or what's the deal?
Yeah, so that's where things get a little tricky. Those regular maintenance fees you pay each year, those aren't usually deductible.
Oh, that's a bummer. Why not? I mean, we're paying all this money to maintain this property.
Well, the IRS sees those fees as personal expenses, kind of like maintaining your primary home. Like you wouldn't expect to deduct your lawn care costs from your taxes, right?
Okay, yeah, I see your point. But wait, doesn't the article mention about a loophole if you rent out your timeshare?
Yeah, there is a potential workaround there. If you rent out your timeshare, you might be able to deduct those maintenance fees, but as a business expense. Emphasis on might.
There's always a catch, isn't there? So what makes it so complicated?
Well, the IRS has rules about deducting for rental properties. You can't just rent it out a few times and call it a day. You need to show that you're treating it like a business. Keep track of all income and expenses, cleaning fees, advertising, even some of those maintenance fees we talked about.
Man, it sounds like a lot of paperwork.
It can be. And remember, tax laws can change, so you really need to stay updated. Maybe talk to a tax professional if you're thinking about going this route.
Good advice. So those maintenance fees might be a bust for most of us. What about other deductions? The article mentioned a few other possibilities, right?
Definitely. One thing timeshare owners might be able to get some relief from is property taxes.
Right. It is still real estate, even if it's just a fraction of the property. But it's probably not that simple, is it?
Haha, you're catching on. You can only deduct property taxes if you itemize those deductions on your tax return. And a lot of people don't do that, especially now with the standard deduction being what it is.
That's true. You have to weigh your options and see what's best. But if you do itemize, are there any other things that make it hard to deduct property taxes on a timeshare?
There can be. Sometimes those timeshare companies, they lump the property taxes in with all your other fees, So it's hard to figure out the exact amount you actually paid just for property taxes.
Oh, so annoying.
It is. You might even have to contact the timeshare company and ask for a separate statement to prove how much you paid just for your taxes.
Paperwork, paperwork. It sounds like being organized is key with this stuff. Speaking of important details, the article also mentioned something about deducting loan interest payments. Is that another tricky one?
Oh, absolutely. Whether or not you can deduct interest on a timeshare loan really depends on what kind of loan you used.
Oh, okay. So what types of loans are we talking about?
Well, you've got your secured loans and then your unsecured loans. Secured loans are usually better when it comes to tax deductions.
Sounds promising. So what makes a secured loan so special?
It's all about collateral. With a secured loan, you're putting something up as collateral. This could be the timeshare itself or even your house if you used your home equity. The important thing is that there's an asset backing up that loan.
And that's good for taxes because.
Well, the IRS is more likely to see that interest you paid on a secured loan as, like, a legitimate deduction, especially if it's directly tied to the timeshare itself, kind of like deducting mortgage interest on your house,
Right. It all makes sense when you explain it like that. What about those unsecured loans? They're probably not so good news, are they?
You got it. Unsecured loans, those are a different story. They aren't backed by collateral, so they're considered riskier for the lender.
And riskier means the IRS isn't as generous with deductions.
Exactly. So if you used a credit card or got a personal loan from the timeshare company, chances are those interest payments are much harder to deduct.
Wow, who knew there was so much to think about with timeshare finances? So we've talked about deducting this and deducting that, but
Right.
what about like donating your timeshare?
Yeah.
Is that something people even do?
You'd be surprised, actually. Donating your timeshare, like, to a charity, that can actually have some tax advantages, too.
Really? Okay, now I'm really curious. That's not something you hear every day. So how does that even work? You just, like, give it to someone and...
It's kind of like when you donate any asset. You might be able to get a tax deduction based on the fair market value.
Okay, so fair market value meaning whatever someone would reasonably pay for it.
Exactly, but it can get a little tricky because to figure out that fair market value, you'll probably need an appraisal from someone who knows what they're doing. You can't just decide what you think it's worth.
Right. The IRS probably wouldn't like that too much.
Yep, you've got to be able to back it up. And keep good records of everything, your appraisal, any paperwork with the charity, receipts. All that good stuff.
It's all about staying organized. But so are there like rules about what kinds of charities you can donate to?
Oh, for sure. Not every charity is set up to actually accept a timeshare. I mean, what would they do with it?
Good point.
You'll need to do some research and find organizations that specifically take timeshares.
Yeah.
Or even just like real estate donations.
I see. So like what kind of charities would that be?
A lot of times you'll see organizations that work with veterans or help people with disabilities. Even some affordable housing programs will accept them.
Wow, so you could actually help people out with your timeshare. That's pretty cool.
It is. They might be able to use it for something or even sell it to raise money.
That makes sense. But there's probably still paperwork even with donating.
Right, definitely.
Yeah.
You'll need to make sure everything is transferred correctly and legally. All the paperwork is in order.
So working with professionals is probably still a good idea.
Definitely. A tax advisor or a real estate lawyer who understands timeshares. They can make sure you do everything right.
This is so interesting. We've talked about deducting maintenance fees, property taxes, loans.
Even donating your timeshare.
Right. But there's still more.
Oh, yeah. We've mostly been talking about federal taxes so far. But what about your state?
Oh, right. Each state is different, aren't they? When it comes to taxes, I mean.
Exactly. Some states might have special rules about timeshares. Like, you might get property tax breaks in one state, but not another. Or different rules about rental income. Deductions. For those exit fees we haven't even gotten into yet.
Wow, it's like a whole secret world of tax benefits no one knows about.
Pretty much. You kind of have to do some digging.
So where do we even start? If you want to, like, figure out your state's rules.
Well, a lot of times those State Department of Revenue websites, those are actually pretty good.
Oh, okay.
They usually have, like, all the tax information for your state.
So you could just, like, look it up.
Exactly. Worth a shot, right?
Yeah, that's easier than I thought it would be. But it's probably a really good idea to talk to, like, an actual expert in your state.
Oh, yeah, for sure. A local real estate agent or a tax advisor who knows about timeshares. They'll be up to date on all those state-specific incentives or whatever's out there.
Okay, good to know. So it's like anything else with taxes, the more you know, the better.
Exactly. And, you know, those online forums, those can be helpful, too.
Like for timeshares?
Yeah, yeah. People share their experiences. You might pick up some tips. You know how it is.
Makes sense. Community knowledge is always helpful.
Well, we've learned so much. We went over those maintenance fees, those deductions.
Property taxes, loans.
Even donating your timeshare. Who knew there was so much to learn about this stuff?
It's more complicated than people think.
It really is. But hopefully our listeners feel like they can take all this information and make the most of their timeshare situation.
Definitely. And when in doubt, call an expert. That's always my advice.
Couldn't agree more. Well, that's it for this deep dive into timeshare deductions. Thanks for listening, everyone, and we'll see you next time.